Kingdom life comes into play when we begin to value the thing that the kingdom holds most dear.
We have to learn how to cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord, and that's the thing that changes history.
We are stewards of this moment in time. We're talking about the potential for cities to be turned.
How are you to bring the kingdom of God into your region, into your family?
When we begin to let ourselves bend to the values of the kingdom of heaven, then things around us begin to bend in response.
You're listening to Lead the Kingdom Radio.
Welcome to Lead the Kingdom, Calibrating Leaders to Reign. I'm joined by my co-host, Mitch Clay. My name is Clint Kaler. Thanks for listening. So, Mitch, last show was our first show.
How do you think we did?
Congratulations. If they're still listening right now,
yeah,
we probably did okay.
We did okay. At least the strong ones. Huh?
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming back and listening to us. We're really just having a conversation between two generations, Mitch being a generation that came before me. And I'm in the generation after, and we're discussing all of these ideas about becoming a leader in the kingdom and about how maybe the generations play a part in interacting and the dynamic between the two generations as we advance the kingdom together, because it is vital.
Absolutely.
It is vital. And for so long, and this is part of my story, you know, for so long, leaders have been creating their own works, whether it be a church or a ministry, and then saying, you know, serve this vision. And then before long, you know, 10 years goes by, 15 years goes by, and you've got sons that you were never a father to. And not only that, you've got sons who never taught how to be a father.
Right.
You never passed that on. And I shared my testimony about how when I heard a father in the kingdom speak to me for the first time, it completely revolutionized my life. And you gave that great illustration about when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, "Our Father," that changed everything.
Well, I think a lot of young guys, let's just say it that way, a lot of young guys are not aware that they're orphans.
Oh boy, let's talk about this.
Okay, and because again, the context will help us understand everything, and the context will also help everything work properly according to design.
Mm.
Okay? So if I feel a frustration, I feel this empty place inside of me as a young guy, okay? Aspiring leader, okay? But I don't know what it is. And I don't understand that this whole thing is really about father and son, about a father empowering a son, father nurturing a son.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to, let's put it in a different context. This might not be the exact case, but for instance, let's just say it's an employer and an employee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if that's how I view leadership, or if that's how I view this other role,
yeah,
then I feel like I just have to do what I'm told because that's what a good employee does.
Right.
You see how the context will determine your feelings.
Oh, sure.
So in that setting, you're either going to get fired or you're going to quit.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
You know what I mean? And usually that happens when you're super frustrated.
Right.
And there's something in there and you might not even know exactly what all is going on. But see, so for a young guy, once you heard the father's voice, the father's voice awakens the son.
Mm, that is so true.
And see, when that awakening happens, now you're empowered.
Yeah.
You're empowered to follow the Father.
This is an orchestrated, well-thought-out plan.
Absolutely. From the beginning.
Yeah, from the beginning. You know, when we experience, there is so much healing in a father's voice.
Absolutely.
In fact, it pretty much makes everything okay.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk about spiritual orphans or people who are behaving like orphans, it's because, and this sounds so cliche, but I have found this to be so true. Maybe we can expound on it more if we want to. But orphans really don't know who they are because they were never in the context of family.
Right.
They never had a father. Your compass is so wacky and off if you've never had a father's voice in your life.
That's right.
And maybe that is a cure-all for our society right now, because society, boy, what a mess, you know. and so many people without fathers, and of course in the natural single moms and all those things, just broken families and stuff. But the cycle will continue to perpetuate itself. You know, the cycle happened to you. It happened to me. And it will happen again unless we extend an invitation to a generation of young leaders to step up to the plate, to put aside their desire to build something around themselves and instead begin to build something around the fatherhood of God, which is the kingdom. Begin to build something that's based on family, that raises, that attracts sons, invites sons in, but then also empowers them to turn around and become fathers to others.
Absolutely. And that goes back to another key part of that, another component of that is we have to find our identity and we have to find our value. See, when we are still linking our value to what we do, that works well in an employer, employee, or other context. Mm-hmm. That works very well in that, because if you do well, then you're counted more of greater worth. But in the kingdom of God, our value, in the family of God, our value comes from who we are, not what we do.
Yeah. I have this conversation in private with a lot of friends and leaders. It seems like a lot of leaders that I encounter are actually orphans themselves and have created an institution around themselves to make them feel like they're not. To basically prop up their own hearts who are just lacking and suffering because there was no father in their own life. And you can feel it. You can feel it in that organization or in that church. It's very platform-centered. It's very celebrity-centered, you know, that kind of thing. But the kingdom model is totally opposite. The kingdom model, when the father, and you said it so good last show, the kingdom father comes in and sees his own success in the empowerment of his sons.
Right.
The marker for success to him is so different. It's not about just building an influential ministry or an influential church. The marker for success in him is based on the very idea that he could begin to reproduce himself as a father in sons and see those sons become fathers themselves. I mean, that is so powerful.
Right. Well, that's happening. There's an awakening in the earth where these things are not just concepts, ideas, theories. People are grasping this to the point that the whole focus of ministry, the whole flow and purpose of ministry is to create this family understanding. Mm. And all of the leadership now is coming from a fathering leader and not just a CEO type leader.
Right.
You know, and a father will lay down his life for his children. You know, a father will sacrifice for his children.
That's so right.
A father will push away the plate so his children can eat.
Yeah.
A father will take a second job in order to provide. You know what I mean? Yeah. A good father does these things, and it's not even a strange thing. It's normal. It's natural for a good father to sacrifice for his children. And this is the design of the Father God.
Right.
It's there. It's in the DNA. It's in our DNA. We were born again into a family. This whole thing about calibrating this thing is really in my mind, in my heart. Calibrating leaders. So if we want to calibrate leaders for the kingdom, we have to have this component of family, and this component of sonship has to be in there in the calibration to make it function, to make you able to mesh your gears well.
Yeah. Well, let's talk to some young leaders. We'll just leave the word young up to you, wherever you feel you like.
Young at heart?
Young at heart. Let's talk to some young leaders and talk about, and even speak prophetically into this. God is doing something in the earth, and we always want to stay in sync with the activity of heaven in the earth and make sure that we're cooperating and partnering with what he's saying, what he's doing. And so let's talk to some young leaders out there. Let's talk to them about some of the things that they have to hold as real values, some things that they need to make sure are in their lives. You know, if we want to create a whole, healthy, up-and-coming leader who's going to become an apostle, prophet, a pastor, teacher, evangelist, you know, what are some of the key characteristics that I want to make sure I have in my life before I step up to lead?
Amen. Well, I think, first of all, you have to understand that you're a son. Mm-hmm. That means that you're growing, you're maturing. And that's a good thing, too, because we talked about 1 John 2, talking about fathers, little children, young men, and fathers, so that we see there that there's different maturity levels. They're all children, the children of God. They're inside the family of God, but yet they're in a different stage of maturing, different stage of growing and so forth. And so, first of all, they need to understand that they're a son, first of all, mm-hmm. and that they're growing.
Yeah.
So where you are today should not be where you are 1 year from now.
Right.
Okay. Inside of this, you know, we talked a little bit before we went on the air to film this program today. Empowering young leaders sometimes means you have to make bold steps to come out of a system that is anything but a family.
Wow.
And I know that we felt like we touched on something very important as we had a little discussion before this. And sometimes young leaders feel rebellious. Mm. They feel that they're being disloyal mm-hmm. because I'm walking away from some authority or some structure or something that I'm beholden to. I feel loyal to. Mm-hmm. And if I don't kind of serve that, then I'm outside the system.
Yeah.
I feel uncovered, feel guilty. And so why don't you, as a young one, speak to that a little
well,
bit?
Well, this is my story. My wife and I served in local church for over 20 years and served well. I mean, we served really well.
Sure.
We did the deal and we did it with all of our hearts. And we served as young leaders and worship leaders and different things and served in many different capacities and, you know, tiny churches, big churches, you know. And in our growth process, and this is really the key here. Everything comes back to our hearts.
Right.
Our hearts were committed to grow with Jesus, okay? Our commitment wasn't necessarily to a person or to a church or to anything else first. I mean, we had commitments and we held our word and that's all great. We need to learn how to do that.
Sure.
But our hearts were committed to grow with Jesus. And so one of the things that we look back on now is wishing that we had partnered with our season better. So there are different seasons to growth, and we know that in the natural.
Beautiful.
You know?
That's good.
And we had wished that we had partnered, and well, we couldn't partner because we didn't understand. So we didn't understand the season we were in. But part of that understanding was clouded by the fact that we were serving a system.
Yes.
And not in a family.
Yes.
Now, there's always aspects of the family involved anytime you get in church and fellowship. But I'm talking about overall, like an over intentional sense of belonging to a family where a father sees you, knows you, calls out you, and empowers you.
Yeah.
And we found ourselves, and frankly, I've heard this story over and over and over the last decade. We found ourselves walking away from a system that disempowered us, mm-hmm. feeling like we had betrayed, feeling like we were doing something wrong, feeling like mm-hmm. we were rebellious, feeling like we had just ignored everything we were ever taught about being faithful church attenders
right.
and things like that.
Right.
And it's not that we were against church. It's not that our hearts turned against church. In fact, our hearts didn't become bitter at all. When we realized that we needed fathers and that we needed to become a father, that's when everything changed. We started to understand our identity as sons. And you know, in our story, and I think this is true with a lot of people, when you don't have a father in your life, God seems far away. He yeah. seems disconnected. He seems aloof. He seems like he's slightly retributive. He seems like maybe I'm being punished for something that I didn't really understand that I did wrong. So there's a total disconnect. And when we began to hear the Father's voice in our life again, I tell you what, it was like springtime. We bloomed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like full on, the sun comes out and the flowers explode out of the ground.
Yeah.
And we waited nearly two decades for that moment
wow.
that did not have to happen like that.
Right.
What if we had exploded into full bloom in our 20s?
Right. Right.
How powerful would that be?
Right.
Where would we be right now if we had heard a father's voice then? So I think there's so many people in that same boat. And we see the statistics of young people walking away from church.
Even. Right. Right.
And so, but what's the key? To not walk away, but to find a father.
That's it.
I think that's the key. And we didn't find a father right away because we had to go find them. Like right. literally call people up, build a relationship, get together, find out if there's a click, find out if there's a resonation of heart, and then build a relationship on purpose. But you know, the first thing that he told me when I said, "Where's my father?" He didn't say anything except "Be one." And by then, I'm nearly 40.
Wow.
And when he said, "Be one," that felt like I was I had wet socks on for a minute because I didn't really understand how to do that. No one had taught me.
Right.
But, and it took nearly 10 years to discover really how to walk in being a father. So that was my journey as a young man and my wife and I coming out of that. And it's the same journey as so many others. And it breaks my heart to see young people leaving the church not understanding that this is really the dynamic at play.
Right. Now, when you say leave the church, you mean leave the system.
Yeah, leave the system.
See, the church is the body of Christ. We have to keep our vocabulary, you know, coordinated with the scripture, okay? So I think that's an important distinction, okay?
Yeah.
One of the things that I want to say to that, your story there and your account of that is that there are seasons. There are seasons in the earth, this is a part of calibration.
Yeah.
And absolutely, for sure, this is a season of family.
Yeah.
This is a season of an awakening. This is an organic season. See, that's the cool thing about when you start talking family and you start talking all these things, this birth, this growth, becoming impregnated is organic. This whole thing is growing organically. This mm-hmm. is, there is organization, there's structure. We talked about that once before about bones in a human body. There is structure. I love Ephesians 2. Let's talk Bible. Ephesians 2, the end of the chapter, it talks about a growing building. And so I love that verbiage because it's a building. It has structure. There's order and there's structure there, but it's also growing. Mm-hmm. That means it's alive. So it's a living building.
Yeah.
You know, living stones, the scripture talks about in Peter. You know, so this day that we're living in right now, this is made for the sons of God to awaken.
Oh, yeah.
This is made for the fathers to come into their place and begin to be fathers and begin to love and to begin to nurture and begin to care and begin to be honored and celebrated and recognized by sons. And I'm telling you, there's an awakening of family right now in the earth today like never before. Like never before.
Yeah, that's so powerful. I was sharing with you a prophetic encounter I had last year. I experienced this encounter, and we all have like little visions that come and they go, and we see that and we share that. But this one lasted like 2 or 3 months, and it was like kind of a low-grade headache that just never went away, you know? And in this prophetic encounter that I continually saw, I saw the dawning of the sun coming up, and there was that twilight, and then there was people that were still in the darkness walking into this twilight of the new day. And they were, as they got into the light, they were bending over and picking up things that they could just start to see because of the dawning. And that seems like such a simple thing. But after a while, weeks go by of this continual thing, and I'm like, okay, what really is this? What is happening? What are you saying to me? And he said to me, it's a dawning of a new day in the kingdom.
Wow.
So a season in the kingdom is happening. And the light that is increasing in our midst right now is causing us to see the value of some of these things we're talking about. And I love that you brought up that this is a moment in time that we can actually intentionally step into.
Right. And see, that's the part of this whole emphasis on calibration, because when you know the season, then it's more easy to be intentional about your cooperating with what the Father is doing in the earth. Okay. Mm-hmm. I also want to say this, that just because we quote unquote come out of a system doesn't mean that there's no order.
Right.
See, a family always has order.
Yeah.
There's order in the family. There's accountability in the family. There's a definite sense of responsibility in a family. That if a well functioning family, each member of the family has responsibilities.
That's right.
And so a lot of people think, oh, you're calling people out of the quote unquote church, and you're just calling them to be these free spirits walking around and doing whatever they want to do. That's absolutely not what we're talking about. I could speak for Clint as well there, because that is simply not what we're talking about. We're talking about, if you will, a new wineskin.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a new order, an order that's more grounded in the scripture, in that it's a family system, a family structure. And in a family, there's many different expressions of family,
mm-hmm.
okay? It doesn't mean that there'll be no meetings. There'll be no gatherings on Sunday morning. That's not what we're meaning at all. The family can gather, but there's something deep down in the middle of this thing. What's the purpose of all this?
Mm-hmm.
What's the motivation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is the motivation to just continue to have meetings for no reason?
Right.
Or is it a gathering of family where we celebrate and share one with another and then celebrate the Father, our Heavenly Father, mm-hmm. and celebrate the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what I mean? There's a flavor there and a life and a joy and a something fresh and new that's very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Very attractive.
When we talk about family, we're talking about more than just a ministry that we build for the sake of something. We're actually talking about legacy.
Right.
We're talking about building legacy, and the kingdom is a legacy building thing. It's alive with legacy. In fact, from the dawn of time till now, the scriptures say this, the scriptures point to Jesus. I mean, we're having a full multi-generational revelation of Jesus.
Yes.
Up until now, we're still in this picture. We're still in this process of more fully discovering and revealing who Jesus is. And he's revealing that to the ages and to the principalities and powers and putting us on full display.
Amen.
As the scripture talks about. So it's so exciting to think about the joy that you talk about that comes when we become part of a family. And I think a lot of people's discover that that feeling of being in a family, even if they don't have a natural family, they have found a family of God. But as a leader, so critical to understand these things, because the default is not necessarily family.
No.
It's
no.
CEO, it's business, especially in today's culture.
Yeah. I think that those models are being seen for what they are.
Yeah.
Like never before, the veil is being pulled away from that. And it's just not working like it used to work. And I believe that the Lord is really calling us to something greater.
Yeah.
Greater than that model.
It is great, because it's going to release healing in the earth. It's going to release a restoration in the earth that no other ministry, quote unquote, ministry model could ever do.
Exactly.
Let's leave people with a couple quick thoughts. I talked a lot about a son finding their father and coming out of the system in order to discover family. Why don't you give us one or two little quick insights on how to receive a son as a father?
Oh, that's a great question right there. Well, first of all, this goes back to my heart to see generations work together.
Mm-hmm.
Fathers need to see their sons or see a son for who they are,
mm.
The value that the Lord has deposited in them, the gifts, the grace, the anointing, the calling, the value that's in a son.
Mm-hmm.
And when a father sees that and recognizes that, then they'll understand how precious this is and that this is not something that they take ownership of.
Mm. Oh, wow.
This is not something that a father would take advantage of. This is not something that a father would corral for his own purposes. But
yeah.
A real father sees that this son is precious to the Father in heaven,
yeah.
and that this is worthy of laying down his life to protect, to speak strongly to bring correction to love and value and treasure,
mm-hmm.
And do whatever is necessary for that son like you said, to be awakened and to understand who they are, and then to inspire them to dream big, to live big, to go for it with with everything that's within them, and create that safe place for them to make mistakes, and create that nurturing environment that they understand that they will make mistakes. But the Father is not going to reject them or cast them aside.
Right, right. Well, let's end up today's show. Let's just pray over and declare over these sons. They would find their fathers and that, you know, we just thank the Lord that he's restoring families. So, Father, we thank you that you are restoring family in the earth. That
Lord.
That family is becoming a powerful force in the earth that's swallowing up darkness and breaking bondages and even breaking patterns that have existed over generation to generation.
Yes, Lord.
And God, we thank you for such a wonderful divine illustration of what it takes to steward and grow kingdom that destroys the works of darkness.
Yes,
God,
Lord.
Thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, we'd like to invite you to join in this conversation and to participate in this movement of fathers and sons over at leadthekingdom.com. Hey friends, thanks for listening. Plug into our network at leadthekingdom.com. Over there, you'll find resources to equip and empower your leadership potential. Also, get registered to receive emails on upcoming events, online leadership sessions, and more. You are valuable, and you were born to change the world.